the Lord's name be glorified. The Lord has brought us together once again to study God's precious word.
Colossians chapter 1. We shall go to Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 12. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Yeah, that actually those passage goes up to verse 14, but we shall only read up to verse 12. See, we are trying to see the prayers of Apostle Paul from where we try to understand the expectations of Apostle Paul. When Paul is praying for God's people, we understand that from there we can learn what kind of life Paul is expecting from God's people. So it can be a pattern for us in our prayer life, in our spiritual life. When Paul says that, Colossian believers, I pray for you, these are the matters, and we can take it as a lesson, as a principle, or as an example for us, so that we can also live like that, and we can also pray for one another, like Apostle Paul did. Now here we have, I think, some four particular prayer points can be found. Verse 9, we begin there, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So there we have the first prayer point. What is that? Okay, so what is the first prayer point? Very clear, I think. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now before that, see, what does it mean by do not cease to pray for you? I think in the book of Ephesians also such an expression was there. Or Philippians also, somewhere also. Paul says that I don't cease to pray, or without ceasing I pray. Does it mean that Paul is praying continuously? Non-stop prayer? Now what is the idea behind without ceasing I pray? In Thessalonians also he writes that you pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. Now what does it mean by pray without ceasing? It's not non-stop prayer. We know that. But it's a consciousness of or prayerful mind. Our prayer is not just confined to the morning, evening or even afternoon prayer. We are supposed to pray always. It's not non-stop prayer. There are sometimes we tend to pray for, if we are praying alone, there's no problem, 1 hour, 2 hour. We can pray, but publicly when we pray, it should be very brief. We have seen it earlier, but at the same time, we need to have a prayerful attitude always, trusting in the Lord repeatedly. Our heart is pouring before the Lord, even though we don't pray loudly, even though we don't make any sound. Every moment of our life, actually, as a Christian, we are supposed to have a prayerful attitude. Whatever prayer points, prayer issues, prayer matters are there in our heart, silently we can pour it, we can present it before God. So that's what Apostle Paul is doing. Without ceasing, I pray for you. Now what is the point, what is the matter? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now it seems, we have seen in Ephesians also, many other places also we have seen, knowledge is something Paul is very much interested in, you know. Repeatedly we see, even other passages also, we would see that Paul would refer to knowledge. He wants that God's people may have knowledge of God's word. Now that is something we need to think about it. Maybe it may be because of those days, you know, Greek philosophers were there, Greek people, they had a love for knowledge, or it may be because of another reason. Any other reason? Because of the, you know, the false teachers, they were claiming falsely. If we follow after the false teaching, we will have more knowledge. We will be enlightened. So maybe because of that also, Paul had a very special interest on knowledge. God's people should know. God's people should grow in their knowledge. So God's people should make every effort to grow in their knowledge. We have touched it earlier, even though I shall just refer to a few verses in the Old Testament as well as New Testament. Isaiah writes that in chapter 5 verse 13, my people, they go into captivity because of no knowledge. Jeremiah 5:4, surely these are poor. They are foolish. They do not know the way of God. They do not know the judgment of God. Who are the poor people? They who do not know the way of God. They who do not know the judgment of God. They are the poor people, Jeremiah says. My people are poor. Hosea says in chapter 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed. The Lord says in Mark 12:24, you are mistaken because you do not know the scripture nor the power of God. So those verses, you know, remind us that how destructive is lack of knowledge in any area of life, even the secular field also. We ought to have a love for knowledge. We need to have an interest to get more knowledge, whether it is spiritual matters or even secular matters also, where you are studying, whatever is your profession, need to have a thirst for more knowledge on that particular topic. That's what Apostle Paul says, you should know. Okay, now what these Colossian believers should know, notice the passage again, verse 9, you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. No, His will runs. Now, what does it mean by God's will? That's another topic. When we study the will of God, now we can understand, we can classify the will of God into different ways. Broadly speaking, God has a will for everybody, common, general will of God. Then God has a will for individual, you know. God's plan for me is not God's plan for you. You don't need to copy me, I don't need to copy you. At the same time, there are certain things which are common to everybody, in every area, in every age. So, Apostle Paul is referring to that will of God. And where do we have that will of God? Throughout the Bible. So when Paul says that you should be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, Paul's emphasis, or Paul wants to say, you should be filled with the knowledge of the word of God, the doctrine. All what is found in the Bible, you need to know what is God's plan for you, God, what is God's will regarding all those things. You should be knowing. Now, two more things are there. Along with that, His will, two more expressions are there. Notice carefully. You may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Look into the Bible and tell me. No PowerPoint here. In all wisdom and... So, listen carefully. Notice carefully. You should have knowledge of God's will. Then he says, that is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. You have knowledge of Bible doctrine. You know all the summary of the 66 books. You know the New Testament doctrine. You know all kinds of, you know, theology. But Apostle Paul says, you also need something more. along with that knowledge, you need wisdom and understanding. Now, what is this wisdom? About wisdom, we understand what is wisdom. Now, wisdom and understanding also, if you follow various teachers, various Bible commentators, you will see so many things. I think we need to follow, we need to go, we need to take simple thing. Why should we find it very hard? Why should I explain certain things to you and give you more trouble? So I think in the simple form we can say, wisdom, the Greek is sophia, referring to the principles. See, you have knowledge. You know the doctrine. You know so many things written here. Now Paul says, you should have the ability to pick up lessons for your life. So when we say wisdom, the idea is to pick up or to understand lessons, merely memorizing the scripture, merely understanding various doctrines only gives knowledge to head knowledge. We need to pick up lessons, principles for today, principles for our personal life. So that is wisdom, the ability to accumulate, the ability to arrange principles, lessons from the doctrine, from the Bible passage, from the text. And then understanding means knowledge, wisdom. Yeah, knowledge, wisdom. Now you should also remember, when you consider the Greek word for knowledge, Paul using not gnosis, what is the word, epignosis. The difference is, false teachers, philosophers, they know gnosis, simple knowledge, normal knowledge. Paul says here, you should know epignosis. You should be filled with the super knowledge, knowledge on a higher level, knowledge of the things of God. So, knowledge, wisdom, the ability to classify or pick up or analyze principles and lessons based on that knowledge. Understanding is the ability to apply those lessons in our practical everyday life. So Paul says, I pray that believers in Colossae, you should be filled with knowledge of the word of God, and you should have the wisdom, and also you should have the thirteen, understanding. Remember, knowledge, epignosis, wisdom, sophia, and understanding is actually sunesis. Forget about it. Okay? But we need all these three. Not just knowledge, not just wisdom. We need both. We need all three. Now when we go through the Bible, we see not only Apostle Paul prayed that God's people may have it. We see Moses prayed. He says in Psalm 90, Lord, you give us the wisdom to number our days. Give us wisdom. David, when he says to Solomon, God may give you wisdom and understanding. And even Solomon also prayed to the Lord, Lord, give me knowledge and wisdom. So knowledge, wisdom, understanding, we need all these three together, not simply knowledge, not even enough to have wisdom, even understanding. And the Bible tells us, from where do we get that? How can we get knowledge, wisdom, understanding? Paul's prayer is showing we need to pray. By our own strength, by our own ability, we cannot have such knowledge, divine wisdom and understanding. And we need to pray, and at the same time we need to meditate upon the word of God, and we need to fill our heart with the word of God, that we will be able to know the Bible, we will be able to know the mind of God, and we will be able to understand or pick up or separate lessons and principles for our day-to-day life to be to apply it in our practical life. Now, listen, notice one more expression in verse 9. Paul says, you may be filled with. Now, filled with. That word filled with, the idea is, you remember in Ephesians chapter 5:18, Apostle Paul says you should be filled with the Spirit of God, not with wine. That means you should be controlled by the Spirit of God, not with wine. Similarly, you should be fully filled with the knowledge of God. You should be fully controlled by the Word of God, the knowledge of God, and the wisdom and understanding. So, the knowledge of God's will, wisdom and understanding should control us. And that's what Apostle Paul is praying for them, first of all. Now, the second prayer point of Apostle Paul is, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. That again we see in many other passages, Paul refers to Christians' walk. Now, walk actually speaks of the behavior, the lifestyle of a believer, the lifestyle of a Christian or a behavior of a believer. In Ephesians chapter 4:1, you need to go there. I don't think you should know. You should go. You need to go. Ephesians 4:1, we see there, Paul says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Philippians 1:27, there you see another thing about our walk. Philippians 1:27, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, we read that walk worthy of God. See, now Paul speaks about the walk of a Christian, a behavior, lifestyle of a Christian. In Ephesians, Philippians and Thessalonians, he said, walk worthy of the calling of God, worthy of the gospel, worthy of God. Now here in Colossians, he says, worthy of the Lord. Now what is the idea? What does it mean? Worthy of the Lord means you should walk, or your behavior must be worthy of God means. How to explain it? Actually, when I was reading, you know, this portion, I was just thinking about it, how to explain walk worthy of God. Then I remembered, just in my mind, I remembered about a school. Think of a school where there is a peon is there, a teacher is there, a headmaster is there, a principal is there, no? You think of the behavior, the lifestyle of all of them. You will see the walk and the behavior, the talk, the lifestyle of the peon, teacher, headmaster, and the principal, the highest. All in different manner, you know. Or do you think no difference? No difference? There is difference. So, any official, according to the rank, according to the position, according to the level, according to whom he is representing, his behavior will be different. His lifestyle will be different. Different, no doubt about it. So, Apostle Paul says, oh Christian believer, you should walk worthy of the Lord. You should walk worthy of the high calling. You should walk worthy of God. You are going to walk in such a way that will bring glory, honor and respect to God, your Lord. You have a high position. You have a high calling. So your lifestyle and your behavior should be in accordance with who your God is, who your Lord is, who you are. Now, I think last week also we referred or we considered similar idea. When the common man will look at us, they don't know any difference. But they should see the difference. They should ask us who you are. Your behavior is different. Your lifestyle is different. You are totally different. What's the difference? What is difference in between you and me? They should ask. That's what Apostle Paul says. Believers in Colossae, I pray that you may walk worthy of God. Now, Paul is giving an added word there for walking worthy of God. You see verse 10. Fully pleasing him. Now what is fully pleasing him? So there we get more clear idea. What does it mean to walk worthy of God? A believer is not supposed to behave as he likes to behave. Listen properly, clearly. A Christian believer is not supposed to behave as you want to, as your friend wants to, even as the society wants to. The society will tell you, you behave in this way, you walk in this way, you live in this manner. No, a Christian will have to behave and walk in a particular way worthy of the Lord. And that worthy of the Lord, Paul gives an additional sentence to the word there. He says, fully pleasing to him. My lifestyle, my behavior, my conduct should be acceptable to him. He should be pleased. He should be happy. He should be honored. Now Apostle Peter also says similar thing in 1 Peter 2:12. He says there you should have it's excellent behavior so that God will be glorified. Now there the idea is people may look at you when they see your excellent behavior. They will glorify God. They will glorify God. So our behavior brings glory to God. Or our behavior, or our lifestyle can bring dishonor to God. So Paul's answer is, Paul's prayer is, believers in Colossae, you should walk worthy of the Lord. And you should walk in such a way that God is pleased, God is happy. Now, how shall we behave in such a way? Or what kind of life will give joy in the heart of God? Now, as you know the Bible, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, what kind of behavior can bring joy in the heart of God? Now, there are many other references. I'm not going to those references to save time. In Romans 6:4, Apostle Paul says, you walk in the newness of life. You know that verse? Romans 13:13, Paul says, you walk properly as in the day, not in night, not as a night. Walk properly. I like that word Malayalam. Mariyadayayi nadakka. That is very interesting sentence, term in Malayalam. Walk properly. 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk in faith. All referring to our lifestyle, behavior. Ephesians 4:1, we have seen 1 to 2, so many things are there. The summary is walk in humility. And Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. And again, Ephesians 5:8, walk vigilantly. Now, there are so many things Apostle Paul says about how a Christian ought to walk, behave. Now you can, the Bible, and you can go through a concordance and see wherever walk is coming. All these things you can find out. How to walk, behave that God will be happy, God will be pleased in our life. But here in verse 10, he gives two other things. Two other specific things he says, then God will be pleased. What are those things? Tell me. Try to find out. It's not there. You may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. When? How? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So two things are there. When you are fruitful. Now fruitful means, yes, last week we considered from Philippians 1:11, Paul praying for them, you may have the fruits of righteousness. Fruit, we know, speaks of a believer's practical life, the outcome of our Christian life. Fruit, we see that also Paul himself writes in many other places. Righteous life, as in Philippians. And when we help one another, that's again a fruit in a Christian's life. When we bring people to the Lord, again, Paul says, that can be taken as a fruit in a believer's life. Holy attitude or Christ-like nature, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we see in the book of Colossians, or Galatians. Godly life in Hebrews, and even Hebrew writer says, when we praise God, when we worship God, that also is a fruit. So, fruit actually referring to many things. Christ-like life, giving praises and glory, then bringing people to the Lord. So in other words, we can say fruit referring to the practical work of a Christian, a Christ-like nature flowing through our life, or the Lord Jesus Christ is producing his nature in and through my life. So Apostle Paul says, then God is honored, then the Lord is pleased and happy about it. Now, how to be fruitful, that's another topic. I don't need to go there. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel 15:5, without me you can do nothing. We can be fruitful only by abiding in the Lord, allowing the Lord to work in and through our life. So Paul says that our life will be pleasing to God when we are fruitful in every good work. Now the second thing, it's not there. Verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Actually, I wanted to show you the translation by J.N. Darby and also Amplified Translation. But there is no way I can show you today. See, J.N. Darby says, a translation is, growing by the true knowledge of God. Now, instead of increasing in the knowledge of God, Darby says growing by the true knowledge of God. Amplified, steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God. Now that's the idea. Paul wants to say, you know God more. You know God more and more in your life. Then as a result, you grow. So you know God more and more. And as a result of knowing God more, you grow in your Christian life. You see verse 6. There Paul already spoke about knowing the grace of God. You see in the end of verse 6, You heard and knew the grace of God. Now, verse 9, you should know what? The will of God, no? Reference to the knowledge of His will. Now in 10, knowledge of God Himself. So knowing God's grace and knowing the will of God, knowing God Himself. And if you carefully go through all those verses, it shows three steps of a Christian. Verse 6 says, you knew the grace of God. There they have begun, referring to their salvation experience. In verse 9, saying you should know the will of God. Thereby you will serve Him. You will fulfill His will. And you know God Himself. By that you will grow. And Paul says, when you grow in such a manner, what happens? God is happy. God is pleased. We see in John's Gospel 17 verse 5, we read that our eternal life or salvation experience begins with knowing God. And our Christian life grows by knowing God and God more and more in our spiritual life. So two prayer points of Apostle Paul, that you should know the will of God. You should be filled with the will of God, knowledge of God's will, and you should walk worthy of the Lord. Now there we have to examine, where we have to, you know, apply these things in our life. Is our heart filled or controlled by the knowledge of God's word? And what about our good work or fruitfulness and also growth in the knowledge of God? Now verse 11, the third prayer point. Verse 11. What is the third one? Strengthened with all might. I think if you remember, this is the third time we come to spiritual strength. You remember that? Where we saw that topic earlier in Paul's prayer. You remember that? Paul prayed for spiritual strength. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed, I pray that your eyes may be opened to see that God's immeasurable power is available for you. In Ephesians 3, Paul prayed. What was the prayer of Paul in chapter 3 regarding the strength of God's power of God? I pray that you may be strengthened in your inner man. Now here once again Paul takes up the same matter. I pray, O Colossian believers in Colossae, that you may be strengthened with all might. Same thing. You may be strengthened with all might. Actually, I don't need to explain more because we have seen already about spiritual strength and spiritual power when we consider that topic in Ephesians. But yet, repeatedly it comes. That means it's so necessary now for a Christian. We need to remember at least three things always. That's why Paul repeats that prayer. I pray that you may be strengthened with all might, because we should always remember. Number one, a Christian has no strength in ourselves. Yeah. We see in Romans chapter 5, we were weak and helpless even before we came to the Lord. And this is the problem with John's Gospel 15, just now I quoted that the Lord says, without me you can do Nothing. So that's something that we need to remember always. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, Paul says, we are not sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. Through Zechariah, the Lord says, God says to Zerubbabel and all, you know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So this is something that we need to always remember. I am helpless. I have no strength in myself. I need the help of God. So that's why Paul reminds them again, Colossians, believers in Colossae also, that I pray that you may be strengthened. And also we need to remember, what is that? We need the strength of God on a regular basis. Not only on Sunday. Not only on the day we have any special spiritual program, we need the strength of God always. It is true, 10 years ago I was so powerful. That doesn't mean that I can be powerful today. We cannot live on the memory of my power and strength and effectiveness today. For today, and even for now, I need the strength and the power of God for now. You know the story of Samson. What a powerful person he was. But finally, he tried, but there was power, strength? No. He didn't know that strength is gone. Now you should not forget that as a Christian, as a believer, there are many reasons why a believer may fail. May lose their strength, spiritual strength. May not be able to get that spiritual strength from the Lord. We need the power of God on a continuous basis. Not just enough to say the doctrine, I have the Spirit of God indwelling in me. That is right. Doctrine is right. But what is the use? Spirit of God is there, but Spirit of God is hurt. Spirit of God is grieved. Spirit of God is quenched. Spirit of God is not working. Not able to work within us. Evil is there. Disobedience is there. Sin is there. Rebellion is there. Could be. Then we are helpless. We are powerless. God cannot strengthen us. God cannot empower us. So that's something we need to remember. So I need to examine whether I am in a position that God can strengthen me. God can empower me. I need to be free from such things that God will be free to work in my heart without any hindrance. So I need the power and strength of God on a continuous basis. And the third thing to remember is, as Paul mentions in Ephesians and even here, that the power is available. Power is available. The might of God is, the power of God is, the unlimited power of God available for a Christian. And that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. So, now come to Colossians chapter 1, you know, 11. What is the reason why in this passage, Paul says, believers at Colossae, you should be strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power. God has immense power, exceedingly abundant power available that he can empower us, strengthen us. Why do we need the power of God? What is the reason? Why? In Ephesians 6:10, Paul would say, be strong in the Lord because you need to fight to defeat the evil one. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul would say, Timothy, you be strong in the Lord to serve the Lord. But here Paul gives two things, very interesting, very practical. What are they? Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now what does it mean? For all patience, long suffering. Now patience actually speaks of the, according to the original word, steadfastness. Steadfastness or perseverance. Now perseverance, the ability to endure, to suffer at any situation, still going forward, whatever may be the condition, whatever may be the difficulties, facing it with courage and going forward. That is perseverance. So Paul says, in order to persevere, in order to suffer, in order to be steadfast in all situation, we need spiritual strength. We need the strength and the ability from God. And the second thing is long suffering. What is long suffering? Similar idea, but little difference is there. Long suffering refers to patience with difficult people. So difficult situation, difficult people. Irritating people, you know, irritating people. Disturbing people. Through their activity, through their words or actions or, you know, we feel that we are irritated, disturbing us. And in such a situation, Paul says, you need strength to be quiet, to be calm, to say nothing. We all know very well, to speak out, easy, no? To shut up, it's very hard. When we are angry, you know, in our mind we are irritated, disturbed, or even angry, yet keeping quiet. Need much strength. When we are angry and speak out, we don't need any strength. Anybody can do that. You know the story in his life of, Moses. When we study the life story of Moses, you see how many times Moses went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a hardened man, hard-hearted man. Repeatedly, you know, breaking his promises. Always Moses was patient. Patient he was. But think of what happened later on, after some time. When the people of Israel, they were murmuring against Moses. There was a time he lost his cool, lost his temper. Warren Worsby says this interesting statement, it was easy for God to bring water out of the rock. It was easy for God to bring water out of the rock. It was not easy to make Moses patient. Moses failed to be patient. Result, I feel so sad about Moses. Whenever I study about Moses, you know, that portion, I feel very sorry for him. Great man of God. At the end, because he lost his patience, because he couldn't be patient, you know, he did something wrong against the will of God. And he lost the privilege to enter Canaan. So we need to remember that Apostle Paul says, believers in Colossae, you need spiritual strength. Now one more expression is there, long suffering with joy. In Malayalam translation, the joy is going to a stall. But English it is much more clear, meaningful, more meaningful. Now in Malayalam translation, that joy is connected to verse 12. But English would be more meaningful because our patience, our long suffering, whether it is difficult situation or difficult people, is not because we have no other option. Not simply because we are forced to. With all joy, from the depth of our heart, we say, I am not against you. I have nothing to say against you. From the depth of our heart we say, I have nothing to argue. Or I am not at all against you, even if you are doing all these things. No retaliation. From heart, with all joy. That's what Apostle Paul says. You should have the strength of God to face all situation in life with joy. So Paul's third prayer point is you should be strengthened. And then finally, verse 12, you should give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We must be grateful people, thankful people. Now in Colossians itself, Paul refers to this thankfulness many times. In Colossians 2:7, he says that you should be abounding in it with thanksgiving. 3:15 also in the end, be thankful. 3:17 again, giving thanks to God the Father. And in chapter 4 verse 2, again he says, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. God's people should be grateful people. We know in the book of Romans, Apostle Paul writes that this thankless nature is part of an unbelievish nature, an evil nature. Romans 1:21, ingratitude. It's a unique feature, one of the features of the evil men. In 2 Timothy 3:2, we read that in the end time, perilous times coming, then what happens? We read there, men will be lovers of themselves and unthankful. So ingratitude is a nature of an evil man. Evil man. But thankfulness is the nature of the people of God. Now when we go through the writings of Apostle Paul, he repeatedly says that I thank God for you. I thank God for you. He was always grateful to God for what God has done in his life. He was always grateful for the people of God for what they have done in his life. And such should be our experience also. Now there are so many things to consider. I am not going to the details. Why we should give thanks to the Father? Because he has qualified us. We had no qualification. He has made us fit to be partakers of the kingdom, of the inheritance. And he has delivered us. He has translated us. And he has redeemed us. So may God help us that we may remember these four prayer points of Apostle Paul for the believers in Colossae. That is practical, that is very necessary for our Christian life also. Let us be controlled and filled with the knowledge of the Word of God in all wisdom and understanding. And let us walk worthy of the Lord, a lifestyle in which the Lord Jesus will be happy and pleased by being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And also we may be strengthened daily to face all kinds of difficult situations and even face difficult people. And we may be grateful to the Lord every moment for what God has done and what he is doing in our life. May the Lord's name be glorified.